Welcome back for the last half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is part two of our daily five-part series on the O Antiphons of Advent. The season of Advent is dwindling away, and in these last days, we are listening to the ancient songs of ancient Christians, these O Antiphons, emblematic of how ancient Christians saw their faith, their life, their worship as really dealing directly with Christ. Christ as delivered in His Word. And Christ, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well, these O Antiphons here deal mostly with the titles that Jesus bears in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to be talking about the title Root of Jesse and the title Key of David in these ancient songs. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He joined us Friday. He joins us again here this Monday on Issues Etc. to talk about these O Antiphon songs. He is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, we were talking before, last time, about O Wisdom and O Adonai. We were in creation. We were in the Exodus of the Old Testament. You said last time we were going to jump ahead a little bit, skip some stuff, and get to this, what sounds more obscure, Root of Jesse. Give us some history. We just heard that song. Some history that will inform us what this title, Root of Jesse, really means.
Well, when we hear the name Jesse, we automatically think of King David, because Jesse was the father of King David. We remember when Samuel visited the family, and he knew that God had one there that he wanted him to anoint, and remember Jesse paraded all his kids by him, and the Spirit didn't say that any of them were the one. And finally, in exasperation, old Samuel says to Jesse, "Don't you have anybody else?" And Jesse's like, "Well, I got the kid. I mean, he's out there with the sheep." And Samuel's like, "We can't eat till he comes." And then David arrives, and he is the one who is anointed. He is the one who is a type of the great good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be then through David and through the house of David that the promise will descend and that the Messiah will himself come.
This isn't just a branch off of Jesse's stem. This is root of Jesse.
Yeah,
this is
the
other end of the tree. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
What's that about?
It's not merely that he is the descendant of David. He is also the one from whom David comes, if you will. I'm reminded of the discourse that our Lord had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he challenged them about, who the Christ, whose son is he? Well, of course, they gave the right answer right away. Well, he's the son of David. And then the Lord throws back to them the content of the name, Root of Jesse. He says, well, if he's David's son, why does David call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And he calls him Lord. How can he be his son? He is not only the one who descends from David. He is the source of David and of the whole line of David. In the same way that when Mary held the babe in her arms, she was holding not merely her son, but also her creator.
Now, last time, at the end of our conversation, I mentioned the fact that Jesus kind of stands as the bookends of human history. Whether you look back or whether you look forward, there he is. For those outside the faith, that looking forward to Jesus at the end of history is a fearful prospect. To those who trust in Jesus Christ, it is nothing but comfort. Is that part of the point that Jesus is trying to make there when he says, you know, the Messiah is behind David as well as ahead of David? And I can't help but think of also Jesus' words when it comes to Abraham, when he says, and even before Abraham.
Right.
If you want to talk about big guys, there's Abraham. Even before he was, I am.
I am. Right, right. He puts himself both places. But now then, it's an interesting title to give him an ensign, a standard, a banner, if you will, you know, hung in front of the people, a flag. that's a strange phrase. It comes from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, where the prophet wrote, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner or ensign to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." So, what do you do with a, how do I put this? What do you do with a banner?
You hang it up.
You hang it. It's hung on something. And he's saying, there he is. He's hung up as a banner, as an ensign, a sign before the people. And to show that this is not just any kind of a banner or sign, he says that when kings see this, they keep silence. I'm reminded there of later in Isaiah, in chapter 52, verse 15, it says, he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. And then begins Isaiah 53.
Who has believed our report?
Who has believed? And the description of the thing that's shutting up the mouths of the kings and keeping them in silence is as he is hanging before them, battered and dying and finally dead on the wood of the cross. To call him the root of Jesse was to confess that he was going to be the one who would be hung on a tree, and that people seeing him would keep their mouths silent except for the plea, come and save us, and do not delay. So the one that's being prayed to here is also, above all, the one who had been crucified for all people, and before whose crucifixion the only response was worshipful awe and the prayer for salvation.
So if we wanted to make that point a little more pointedly, O root of Jesse, it says standing as an ensign, we might want to sing this, O root of Jesse, hanging as an ensign.
Yeah, hanging as an ensign before the people,
And is there also an eschatological, an end times picture being painted here of thrones falling before him, kings coming to him and laying their crowns at his feet, and he becomes the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
The beautiful picture out of Revelation, I believe that as well. And the cross sort of holds together both of them. The one who was before David is the one who is coming again in glory, and before whom on that day it's not going to be a matter of choice. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in the meantime, those who see this and recognize what this ensign is by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and who then fall down before him in silence and awe. I mean, I was privileged to see the Passion of the Christ with you when you did the showing here in Illinois for the Issues, etc. Hearers. And every time we saw it in a theater, it was the same thing. What's the response at the end?
Silence.
Dead silence. And I always think that's the same thing. You know, kings are silent before him. All people are silent before him as we see the ensign hanging on the tree.
One more thought on that. Jesus references another ensign, and that was the snake lifted in the wilderness. And there in John, he says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself.
Yeah. The exact same point. The one who is with the snake, it was an image of that which was killing them. So he is lifted up as the living one who dies the death, the sin that was killing them. Now the sin that kills him and wipes him out, so that looking to him in faith, we are set free from it.
Before we leave behind O Root of Jesse, folks, our Issues, Etc. book of the month for December, in a way that is apt beautifully for children, because it is a children's book, traces the theme of wood through the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior. It is a Christmas book, a tree for Christmas, but it's also a book, aptly for Christmas, that is cross-focused, that doesn't leave us standing there at the manger, but carries us forward to stand at the cross and the empty tomb as well. It's called A Tree for Christmas. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Now, due to this late date, if you contact Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, in order to receive A Tree for Christmas, you'll have to ask for express shipping to get it by Christmas time. You can also go into one of their two locations. They have two bookstores, one at 3558 South Jefferson here in St. Louis, 3558 South Jefferson, the other here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. That's at 801 DeMunn here in Clayton. Look for the CPH bookstore signs. You can also go to our website to find out a little bit more about A Tree for Christmas, 1-800-325-3040, or the website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, A Tree for Christmas. Well, here is the fourth O Antiphon. Oh, before we go on to the fourth, let's hear again that third O Antiphon, which is O Root of Jesse. We heard it again. We heard it at the beginning. Let's hear it again now. This is part two of a five-part daily series we're doing here on Issues Etc. on the O Antiphon Hymns of Advent. And as Advent winds down, we're on the third and fourth O Antiphons. We just heard O Root of Jesse, and next we're going to talk about O Key of David. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Before we leave that one behind, say a few words about the final words of that O Antiphon, come quickly to deliver us.
Yeah, I really wanted to, I'm glad you asked, because I wanted to comment on this. Every one of the O Antiphons has, as their conclusion, a plea that the Lord would come. And in this way, they are sort of a meditation upon the very ancient prayer of the church, Maranatha. Our Lord, come. And they just simply expand the Our Lord by giving him various names from the Old Testament. But this plea and ache of the church for the return of Christ is what's behind it. And the church's recognition that the one who is coming again at the end of all time still comes to us today in a mystical way. I mentioned several weeks ago when we, I don't remember what we were doing, maybe it was, I don't remember. But if you take the names, the titles of the O Antiphons and read them backwards, it literally says in Latin, ero cras, which means, I'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be here. And see, they end up on the 23rd. So it's a confession that, he's here on the 24th, when, of course, the celebration of the Lord's Supper took place. Recognizing that the one who is coming again at the end of all time, and who, you know, for whom we desire and whom we ache and we long to see, he still comes to us in a mysterious, hidden way, as he promises, under the bread and wine, which are his body and blood.
There was a seminary professor once said, John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. And we meet John the Baptist in the season of Advent. And then he asked the question, that was the forerunner of Christ for his first coming. Who is the forerunner of Christ for his second coming? And we're all sitting there scratching our heads. And finally, after a few minutes of discussion, he says, it is Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who foretells and foreruns his own second coming. And I'm wondering if that's what Christmas really is every year for the Christian. The seal, the sign with Jesus' life lived, died, and risen again. Yes, I'm coming again. I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's for every year, it's the glorious joy that the one who is coming to us again and is the one who came to us and therefore became a true human being, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was, real flesh and real blood. When he comes again on the clouds of light with great glory, he's going to be coming as a full human being, as well as being true God. but that Christmas always is the joy that the one who came to us, as Luther said, who could be afraid of a baby? this is how God comes to us, so that we're not terrified and running away from him. We know that we're welcoming into this world, when he comes again in glory, the one who came to save us by taking on our flesh and blood.
The fourth O Antiphon, O Key of David, we're going to hear it now in its form as it comes down to us from that famous hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, O King of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to
the fourth O Antiphon in the form of that stanza from O Come, Emmanuel. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest here in part two of our five-part daily series on the O Antiphons of the Advent season, these ancient songs sung by Christians during the season of Advent. Will, what does it mean, Key of David? That's probably one of the most confusing titles that's given here.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus himself says in chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. And the, quoting from the famous passage in Isaiah 22, where the steward of David's house is described as having been given the key of David. But the antiphon goes further than the scriptures. The scriptures say Jesus has the key of David. The antiphon says you are the key of David. You are the one who is the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You are, when you hear key, picture the key that opens the door. When you think about Genesis, you remember that Adam and Eve were shown the gate, and they were shut. The gate was shut, that the angel barred the way to the tree of life, and paradise was closed. And the whole condition of humanity is that we are a people who are in exile from our true home. We are a people who have been tossed out and are wandering. And the Lord Jesus comes to break the bonds, to set us free, to release us from the bonds of our sins, and to open up the door to our eternal home. He is the key that does both. The antiphon itself uses the words, come and deliver him from the chains of sin, from the chains of prison, who sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that reminds me right away of Psalm 107, where we hear, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Most High and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. He's the key that bursts wide, opens up the way home for his people, frees them from their sins, and opens up the gift of heaven to them again.
I'm thinking also of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, standing in a vision before the Apostle John, and he says, I was dead, I am alive again, and I hold the keys of death and hell.
Yeah, I've got the keys. You've got nothing to worry about. Yeah, and the one then who has descended into our flesh precisely that he might be able to, in our flesh, suffer and die, and to fill even death itself with his own presence. It utterly transfigures and destroys death from the inside out. Paul said that for this reason Christ both died and lived again, that he might fill death with himself. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful promise, that he might be the Lord of the dead and of the living. And this means no matter where you go as one of his people, those who have been set free by him, when you go into death, you know that you're going into a place where Christ is and that you have nothing to fear. Death is not what it was. It has been totally changed by the child of Mary.
Next time we're going to be talking about just one of the O Antiphons. Tomorrow, O Day Spring. Give us a brief preview with only 1 minute.
I'll give people, how about a riddle? I wonder if they can figure out why the church might cry out to the Lord Jesus as the day spring or the sun on December 21st. How about that?
And you'll answer the riddle tomorrow?
I promise.
All right. Very well. Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, for this part two of our 5-part daily series on the O Antiphon Songs of Advent. Thank you very much for being our guest again.
Thank you.
Well, all these names begin to pile up. And you might think, how do you sort out all the details from the Old Testament? Jesus, just listening to four of these songs so far in this series, has so many names and so much to be said about him. Well, should we wonder at that? That the Old Testament, Jesus tells us that it all testifies of him. The New Testament, of course, all testifies of him. That if we start talking about Christ and start unwrapping everything that is said about him and how it is said and the many and various ways that Jesus is described and proclaimed and shown forth in all of his crucified and resurrected glory in the Old and the New Testament, we could hardly stop talking about it. This is why the church can hardly stop singing about it. There's not enough time in Advent to say everything that needs to be said before we begin to celebrate him who came in human flesh. And that's why the church continues to sing these songs and to consider God's word through these songs, the O Antiphons of Advent. Why? Because our attention is always fixed, as Paul tells us it ought to be, on Jesus Christ and him alone, not only in the Old Testament as he is foretold, but in the New Testament as he is revealed, our Savior in human flesh, crucified and risen for us. Thank you for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.